All right, Alexander, let's talk about the situation in Germany. AfD is at 29%. That's where they're polling. They will get to 30%, and they will probably pass 30%. That's my opinion. I'm interested to hear what you have to say about it. Merz is in collapse.
Yes.
The CDU is in collapse. The SPD has collapsed. Merz is starting to blame the Kremlin and Putin for his collapse, right? They're saying this is Putin highlighting Merz's incompetence. At least that's an article that Politico put out the other day. It's amazing. And they go through all of the problems that Germany is facing under Merz, the economic issues, the sanctions against Russia, the fact that he's unpopular, and everything they say is not a lie. I mean, they're running through his terrible track record. And nothing they say in it is propaganda, but they blame it on Russia. It's like, why are you blaming Russia? You're blaming Russia for your own incompetence.
Absolutely
Anyway,
not.
the situation is pretty bad for the ruling political class in Germany. And I don't know if you did you happen to see Alice Weidel's a speech where she kind of
Yes.
outlined her foreign policy.
Yes.
She kind of went through
Yes.
it, which was very logical, very
Yes.
simple.
Yes.
Absolutely the right thing for Germany to do, you know,
Yes.
energy trade with Russia, good relations with China, good relations with the United States. Is it that hard? Anyway, your thoughts, Alexander.
Yes. Well, I think before we actually discuss the polling, I would say that one of the reasons, in my opinion, for the polling is Alice Weidel. You've just mentioned her. Now, as far as I'm concerned, and I've been following her very closely over the last, year or so, I would say that if you're talking about political leaders across Europe who are challenging the political status quo, the political elite, the centrist elite that has dominated European politics for so long, then Alice Weidel is far and away the most articulate and the most effective. And I think that this is starting to get through across Germany and is one of the reasons why we're starting to see this big move towards the AfD. One way or the other, they have got themselves an extremely capable and very articulate and very effective leader. Now, going to the polling, you are absolutely correct. I think the AfD are going to break through the 30% barrier. Now, I feel that this is the point, the key moment. If the AfD breaks through the 30% barrier and stays there, then it is the moment when it not only becomes the biggest party in Germany, but it begins to start to look like the party in Germany that is going to win the biggest number of seats in the Bundestag, and which is definitely heading for a victory in the next parliamentary elections. In fact, it would be a decisive moment in German politics. And if we look at the other side, if we look at the CDU, it currently is polling at 22%. That is already practically catastrophic levels. If it falls below 20%, which it might do if at the other end of the spectrum, the AfD gets above 30%, then we are looking at what in Germany you might not be entirely wrong if you called a revolutionary moment. Because in Germany, ever since the foundation of the Federal Republic in the 1940s, the CDU has been the political vehicle of the German establishment. And it is the party which, more than any other, is the party that basically has set the tone and the character of the Federal Republic of Germany. If it falls below 20%, at the same time that the AfD is polling above 30%, then, as I said, we are looking at a transformative moment. And I predict that at that moment, we will start to see the CDU fall faster as more centre-right voters who have historically supported the CDU start to migrate further and faster towards the AfD. And that is the moment when the AfD is going to start to break through in a big way right across the former West Germany. So this is, we are almost now at that tipping point. And the reason we are at that tipping point is partly because what we said just a moment ago, that the AfD has a convincing leader in Alice Weidel. And going from that article that you were talking about, Friedrich Merz does not look like a convincing leader in Germany at this time. But of course, it goes beyond Merz, because Germany has been clearly going in the wrong direction for a long time. In our opinion, we've discussed this many times in program after program, stretching way back to the Merkel years. But of course, Scholz took this bad situation already, which already existed, and made it much worse. And Merz came in and he's made it far worse still. So, it's a rapid decline in the political center. And as I said, if at that moment it looks like the CDU is polling below 20%, well, all of those forces across Germany, all those people, the business people, the people who work in regional banks and regional, the Mittelstand people who have historically always looked to the CDU to look after them, to look after and protect their interests, who are already extremely disillusioned with the CDU. They will say to themselves, the AfD is an alternative. It's got a convincing leader. It's got a program that makes sense for us. It's got an economic policy which we like, and which is very like the economic policy that the CDU itself used to follow, and which was partly which was responsible for Germany's economic takeoff in the 50s and 60s. So let's forget about the CDU. Let's start switching and backing the AfD, because ultimately the AfD is much more like the CDU that we remember, the CDU of Adenauer and Erhard and Kohl. So this is the tipping point, in my opinion, in Germany today.
So the political class in Germany and in the EU are going to flip out with what's happening with AfD, right? They're going to absolutely lose it with yes, these polling numbers and with the rise of AfD and the fall of Merz and the CDU.
Yes.
What do you think they're going to do to the AfD? How are they going to try and stop the AfD? Are we going to see some sort of trick like they played against Romania and Iorgescu? Are we going to see something else? Politico, the article that I was mentioning, which talks about how Russia is going after Merz, and they're explaining Merz's fall on Putin propaganda. The title, Alexander, is interesting. Putin's trolls are weakening Merz to boost Russia-friendly far right. I think that title pretty much says it all. It gives us a hint as to what the EU globalists and the German political class are going to do. Kill two birds with one stone, right? Go after Russian propaganda while at the same time trying to knock out the AfD. I mean, what do you make of that title?
Well, indeed, I mean, as you absolutely rightly say, it tells absolutely everything. Now, I think just one further thing to say. I mean, one of the reasons for the dismay is that there was a great assumption, a widespread assumption amongst a large part of the political class that Merz was going to be the answer and solution to the problem. I mean, he'd been built up over many years as this outstandingly capable and clever man on the right of German politics, who would know how to take the CDU further to the right, who would connect with German business and with German, the wider German public, who had been a successful lawyer and who'd made a significant fortune as a lawyer, who would be the one person who would sell the current policies that are being followed by Germany with respect to Ukraine and Russia, with respect to EU integration and all of those things. So I think partly part of the shock is that he has failed and failed so fast. I think that was absolutely not anticipated. And I think the other thing to remember is that there is so much riding now, not just on Merz himself, but on certain aspects of his program. The idea of German rearmament, for example. We on the Duran have been deeply skeptical about German rearmament right from the moment it started. We always said that it was ill-conceived and not properly thought through and did not understand Germany, today's Germany, or the actual sentiments of the German people. But that was not the elite consensus. And, you know, when he announced this great rearmament program, there was relief and euphoria over it. So the fact that everything is unraveling so quickly, it has dismayed the political class across Europe and also their friends in the United States as well. So what are they going to do? They're going to do exactly what you said. They're going to blame it all on Russia. They're going to say that the AfD is a stooge of Russia. They will say that the reason the AfD is doing as well as it is not because of all of the objective problems that are accumulating in Germany, which, as you absolutely rightly say, that Politico article has correctly identified. It is because of Russia and its supposed information war, for which, of course, no real evidence is ever produced. And that will indeed be used, be wheeled out in order to start to target the AfD, to target obviously Alice Weidel. We're going to see the security services in Germany, which have already said that the AfD is an extremist organization. They're going to crank up further the SPD, which is the increasingly fractious and unhappy coalition partner of the CDU, is already saying that the right thing to do is to ban the AfD. You get the sense that with the SPD, that's pretty much their entire political program now. Die Linke, the left-wing party, also supports this. So do the Greens, I'm sure. I haven't followed the Greens, but I'm sure they would not be opposed to it. Steinmeier, the president, wants to do it. I think that there are a number of things that perhaps make this slightly more difficult or more difficult. Firstly, Germany is a very diverse society. It's got more alternative voices than most West European countries do. It's got something of an independent media. It's got something of a culture where, as I said, there is pushback against this sort of thing. The fact that 29% of people in Germany are now saying in opinion polls that they support the AfD makes it more difficult to take that kind of action. The fact that in East Germany, the AfD is starting to become the dominant party makes it more difficult because, again, you risk dividing Germany politically in that kind of way, which I think in Germany they are nervous about doing. But the other major factor that I think stands in the way of this is that there are people within the CDU who are increasingly saying, well, why would we want to ban the AfD? What we should be working towards is a coalition with them, because ultimately the AfD is what we once were and ought to be. And there is that sentiment in the CDU, which is a much more complex party than some of the other parties we see in Europe today. So I think there will be resistance within the CDU itself to any move in this direction, though whether it will be strong enough, whether any of the factors that I've spoken about would be strong enough to prevent such a ban is another matter. What I will say is this: if a ban like this is made, then again, this is a crisis point in Germany. It remains a very law-abiding, very orderly society. I can't imagine, I'm not suggesting that there would be immediate riots in the streets, but there would be a massive rupture between the German people and their elite, and it would inevitably over time start to manifest itself in all sorts of ways, especially as the elite almost certainly would in that case follow the same policies, the same set of policies that are creating the conditions of crisis that are leading to the rise of the AfD in the first place.
What do you make of Merz's idea, his proposal? Allegedly, he sent this as a letter to Ukraine to grant them associate member status in the EU, but no voting rights or anything like that. Or what is this about?
Well, I think even Merz is now starting to understand that this whole conflict is undermining the whole political stability of Germany itself. And he's trying to find some way to square the circle. I mean, it's become increasingly clear that there is strong opposition across the EU to Ukrainian membership. It's also becoming increasingly clear that Ukraine, or at least Zelensky, not only insists on EU membership, but he also resists any proposals to make concessions to the Russians, and he wants to prolong the war. So Merkel is trying to Zelensky by telling him, make these concessions to the Russians, and in return we'll give you association membership. And of course, it's not going to happen, because Zelensky's not going to accept. He's not going to agree to any of this. He's going to say, and by the way, on this, Zelensky's absolutely right. Ukraine was promised EU membership. It was promised EU membership all the way back when the association agreement, which was the root of the whole crisis back in 2013, was first proposed. You're not going to palm us off with something like associated membership, which absolutely doesn't mean anything. And as for giving up any millimeter of our territory, we are never under any circumstances going to do that. So it's a desperate throat by Merz, and it's not going to do him any good at all. What Merz really needs to do, the only thing that could change the situation in Europe and in Germany would be if he picked up the phone and called the Russians. But of course, he's not going to do that either.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. Yeah. I think he's too afraid to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. I don't think anyone wants to be the negotiator with Russia, because what that means is that you're going to be handed the capitulation papers, right?
Absolutely.
Are you going to go to Moscow and Putin's going to say, well, here you go, here are the terms.
Exactly.
Right? And besides, you're going to be that guy or that girl that takes the capitulation papers back to the Europeans.
Besides, I mean, the whole point of Merz over the last year is that he is the person who's going to prepare Germany to fight Russia.
Right.
So, I mean, suddenly, you know, flipping so completely. I mean, it just isn't politically possible. And besides which, I mean, I viscerally don't think he can do it.
Isn't that a stupid economic plan from Merz and from Germany? Merz is this economic genius, this financial genius. And so his plan to drive the German economy going forward, now that it's been deindustrialized and hollowed out of everything that it used to do, Even automobiles, China has pretty much overtaken Germany in that as well. So his brilliant economic plan is just to manufacture weapons, to turn Germany into a war economy, pretty much. And you have Mercedes now saying that they're going to manufacture military vehicles. You have Volkswagen saying the same. I mean, is this really a serious economic plan going forward?
No, it is not. I mean, first of all, Germany developed a very, very powerful automobile car industry. And it was a world leader there, and a world leader built up over many decades. I mean, remember, the internal combustion engine was invented in Germany back in the 19th century by Benz, Daimler and Benz. I mean, two rival inventors who then came together and created Daimler-Benz, which, of course, is the company that makes the Mercedes cars. But I mean, it's something that Germany has long done. For Germany to enter the world of arms production means to go head to head with the Americans, the Russians, the Chinese, all sorts of people. I mean, the field is already full here, and Germany does not have the industrial depth to do it. And I mean, besides, we discussed this many times, you can't simply convert car factories into tank or armored vehicle or artillery factories. It can't be done.
Drone factories?
Drone factories, yes.
Okay.
But I mean, again, I mean, you're then placing everything on drones. Drones are cheap anyway. They don't come with the kind of economic benefits, the profit margins that cars do. In a way, actually, focusing entirely on drone technology is to accelerate your deindustrialization, because you're going for very simple technologies rather than the very sophisticated and advanced technologies which Germany is good at. And the thing to understand about the car industry in Germany is that obviously there's the factories that make the cars, but there's the factories that make all the subcomponents that go into those cars. That is a massive part of the Mittelstand, the middle-ranking companies that make up Germany's core. I mean, they can't all just convert tomorrow to making subcomponents for weapons. I mean, this takes time. We're talking about, as I said, a 10-20 year program. And in any event, the other problem with weapons production is that if you are making weapons, you're making fewer consumer goods, especially if you're Germany, because Germany is not this broad-scaled economy that, say, the United States or China or Russia are, where you can make weapons and you can mass produce at the same time large numbers of passenger cars and trucks and other consumer goods as well. So if Germany starts making its factories produce weapons, which it wouldn't be able to, but let's say it tried to, and had them produce fewer consumer goods, then Germans need to have consumer goods and they need to import them. And at that point, Germany goes from running a current account surplus, which has been absolutely essential in terms of the German economic motor, to have running a current account deficit. Now, that has, by the way, been a historic problem in Germany. It was a major problem in Germany before the Second World War. It was one of the reasons why the depression in Germany in the early 1930s was so severe, because Germany, in order to cover the perennial deficit in its current account, and by the way, also to pay reparations, had to borrow. And again, if you are going to run a permanent current account deficit, Germany will have to borrow. And well, that again changes the entire character of the Germany that has developed during the period of the Federal Republic, and ultimately it affects Europe too. So none of this makes any kind of economic sense unless you are someone like BlackRock and you want Germany to start floating lots and lots of debt, because of course debt is what makes you makes your money. So you can see exactly where Meltz himself is coming from. But as an economic policy for Germany, and indeed for Europe, it makes no sense at all.
Yeah, I think you just nailed it. Yeah, okay. We'll end the video there. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on Rumble, X, and Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. We have a big flash sale going on right now, 30% off hats and t-shirts. So grab our hats and t-shirts, which are awesome. You'll find a link in the description box down below. And also check us out on Substack as well. Take care.